Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome everybody from Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook Live, and some of the different groups that we are posted on. And as always, I want to thank my partner, Brother Satawi Jahi, who always has some positive information to bring to us. And so I'm going to go directly to you first, sir, while I get myself together. Okay, sir?
All right.
Brother Satawi, okay.
As we do each and every time we come on these airways, we start off with a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And the author of that book is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, is also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And reading for the day. The principle I speak of is persistence. The power of persistence is characteristic of those who have achieved greatness. It's not brains or talent or resources, as it is persistent effort and constant consistency of purpose to draw one towards greatness. There's a simple story that highlights the principle of persistence. One day, the devil decided to close up his shop in one part of town and reopen in another. He had a going-out-of-business sale was announced, gracing his window. One of his customers, who was quite fascinated with the various instruments on display, noticed that of all of the devil's tools, the highest price is my favorite. With a tool of discouragement, I can pry it to anyone's mind and end all dreams and hopes. Those achievers who succeed in life are men and women who keep their shoulders to the wheel, who may not believe themselves overly talented, but who realize that if they are ever to accomplish anything of value, they must do it by a determination and a persistent effort. Richard Wright, the acclaimed novelist, wrote, quote, "It is no disgrace to begin again. This thing we call failure is only a process of staying down. I was able to accomplish some great things and accomplish some great feats. I remember being persistent when I played tennis, especially in high school and college. And it was the persistency of me getting out and practicing. In high school, it was given the wintertime game. There was no indoor courts for blacks to play at. So me and my father, we used to go shovel the snow off the court and the night before. And we had these special balls that we had got. It was from Sweden that with low pressure balls, and it was good for playing in the wintertime. And so we used those balls. My mother thought we was crazy, but you know, my father was trying to develop me into a champion, which he ultimately did. And so it's being persistent is what gives us the advantage to be able to do the things that we need to do in life. With that, David, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yes, we do have to be persistent. You know, I know we get knocked down, you know, but sometimes we have to pick ourselves up or get picked up by someone. And, and then we can carry, you know, the baton, so to speak, to keep whatever we're doing moving, you know. And if you live any amount of time, you will get knocked down. But like I say, the key is getting back up, being persistent, and going after that vision, that dream that God has put into you. And I like to tell people I'm always a student. So, you know, and I'm always evolving. So, you know, so same things I was doing 10 years ago, I'm doing some of the things, but not the same things. I'm doing a lot of different things today. And so on this road that we travel on, like I say, you know, some doors will open, some doors will close. Like I say, we get knocked down, we get back up. But we have to continue to be persistent and move on. Well, in any case, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for coming on board. We have a small group of people with us this evening, and I know more people will be chiming in as we grow. And I want to welcome, again, those who are on Facebook, as well as those who are on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, as time approaching on, you know, the National Black Unity News is constantly evolving as well. We have many ups and downs in this publication, but we were very persistent about it. And that is because we had some persistent people working with us. You know, no matter what, we battle through it, and we keep it moving, and we keep it going. And this month, last month, you know, we were celebrating Black History Month, and this month is Women History Month as well, and we're celebrating our women. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I'll wait just a few more ladies come on board and you have a small discussion about that as well, because it's extremely important. You know, I know they delegate these months, but you know, as we know, you know, it's not delegated to a month. This is every day that we should look out for one another, recognize one another. And because every day, you know, things change, we change. And people are contributing in so many different ways. And but last week we had a little discussion, and we ended up on this thing called, you know, the Willie Lynch theory. Some say, you know, some scholars say, you know, they had some problems with it, and then some people say it's true. But nevertheless, a lot of the theories about that paper makes a lot of sense in so many different ways. And but even if it's true, if it's not, if it's a theory, whatever it is, some of these things, as we know, that, you know, don't take no rocket scientist to figure this out, that a lot of things has been applied. It may not come from that paper, but those theories have been applied even up until this day. And that's why I kind of labeled this discussion, you know, we and us and they and them, because as I always say, they're going to continue to do what they do because they always done it. Why do you think they're going to change now? And the only thing that I believe that will change anything right now, as far as when it comes to race relations, and not just black and white thing, people of the same persuasion fight each other. You know, Native African, you know, tribes fought each other. Native Americans, they tribes fought each other. China, every place else. So it's not just a black and white thing. It's a we, us, and they and them thing. And so, again, they and them will always continue to do what they do. And sometimes we focus too much on them and they. And while we focus on them, they continue to do what we're doing. We should have some attention to ourselves, we and us, and because that's where change takes place. It takes place with individuals, and it takes place when we work collectively together. And I heard it said on this podcast many times, we got to stop thinking about the past sometimes. But, of course, you have to know where you've been to know where you're going. And sometimes, you know, one thing, the beauty of what God has done to each individual, he made us totally different from everybody else. No one will ever be like me, before me or even after me. That's the way God made us. And for such a time as this, I think God raised people up for specific reasons. And everybody make their contribution. Some do, some don't. And some people just exist, you know, but it's a beautiful thing to have a vision, to have a purpose in life. When you get up in the morning, you know you have things to do, even if it's just raising your children, providing for them. Even if you are a visionary and you want to make change not only in your personal life, but in the lives of many others, which so many on this podcast do. And I, again, want to welcome everybody on the call. But before we get in these other discussions right now, there's a few people on here because it is women. I saw Dr. White, she was on for a minute. Hopefully she'll come back. But I see I want to recognize Kathleen Murphy, who's on there. How you doing this evening? You can unmute yourself. And we have Shauna Dene on here. I want you to unmute yourself as well. And how you and Kathleen Murphy, starting with you. I know you're getting situated, so I'll wait till you get situated.
I just hosted a meeting that I chair, a committee that I chair, and so I'm just trying to get that, you know, finished up, and I'm here. I'm like you say, I'm here.
Hey, okay. And then we have Shauna Dene. How you doing, young lady? You can unmute yourself. Okay, I get a while to adjust as well. Okay, I hear a lot of background. I'll take care of that. And let me see. But in any case, you know, as I was mentioning to you before, this is Women History Month, I believe they call it. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, but they are recognizing women from who done significant things, and they recognize women just for being women. And if anybody, you know, with their grain of salt, women has always played. Oh man. Great significant, from my wife to my mother to my sister-in-law, friends, and everybody else, daughters, and has done so much in my life, you know. And but any, you know, like I say, every day we should recognize one another. But again, I just want to bring special acknowledgement to the women on board with us this evening, and we're gonna have a little discussion a little later on about women issues, men issues as well. But because, like I say, men see things kind of different sometimes, the way, you know, different from the way, and I think God made it that way. But in any case, I was talking about earlier about, I don't know what this noise, but I'll take care of that in a minute. Bear with me, everybody.
You are muted. You All can right. mute or unmute yourself by pressing
okay.
*6.
All right, getting back to our subject tonight. A couple of our editors brought to my attention, you know, that they are really having some issues, you know, when we start talking about a lot of things that happened yesterday.
You are unmuted.
And I just said earlier that, you know, sometimes we have to know where we've been to, you know, kind
you
of
are
map
muted.
Out where we're going. And it's good to look back because that's what molds us. That's what makes us today. From our past history, but you know, we don't have to stay this way. You know, we can make changes today so we can have a better tomorrow. And but a lot of people's asking, you know, since we have been there and done that, so to speak, we have read stories about us, you know, about our greatness and our failures as well. But where do we go from here? And I think one of our young ladies on here has also brought up that question a couple of weeks ago. Shauna Dene brought it up. You know, yeah, we can talk about all, but what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And so I want to bring that subject up. And there's a young man on here who does a lot of reading, and he deals with books and everything like that. And always interested in what he has to say about a variety of subjects. Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Good evening.
Yeah, how you been?
I've been good. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
And the reason why I'm picking on you first, sir, is because, you deal with a lot of people. See, people, I don't know if people really recognize that Dr. Leroy McKenzie hosts so many podcasts. I mean, I don't know. How many do you do a week on the average?
Well, I do a week. I do do one. I have one that two. I'm sorry, specifically during the weekend. Then I have another two three each week, and then I do another one or two monthly.
Okay. Yeah, and so, like I say, because every time I turn around, he's interviewing, he's doing this. And plus, he interviews all the people in the book section, our book showcase. He interviews all of them as well. And right. And I would just explain it to people, you know, people, we know we talk about yesterday, today, and sometimes we talk about tomorrow. But, you know, people really want to know, even though we talk about these things, where do we go from here? How can we? I'm talking about black melanated people. I'm not sure, like I said, they're going to do what they do. It's high time we start finding out what we need to do. And from your perspective, sir, you know the state of, from your point of view, black America. And I know everybody says we need unity, we need this, but from your perspective, how do you think we need to start this road that we're on to make some serious changes for tomorrow, from your perspective?
Well, I think first, that's the great question, and that's where Dr. King's book comes from, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, which was, I think, his best book where he talked about the things that we needed to do then, which are pretty much, honestly, the same things that we a lot of the very same things that we need to be doing now, which has to do with us understanding who we are as a people first, but then also, you know, all of the planning and all of the talking, that to me, we need to get beyond that. It's moving forward and saying, okay, how do we implement the plans that we have? You know, whoever's with it, you know, you move forward with those people, because we have to understand that we're the only ones that are going to be able to save us, one. But then, two, we have the resources that we need. We have the media, you know, we have the media outlets that we need in order to be able to do what we want to do. We have finding what I call those 12 types of capital that we need, all the way from, you know, financial capital to resource capital, human capital, all of those types of capital that we need to be able to bring everybody to the table. One of the things that I've in the book, Where Do We Go From Here, and even Operation Breadbasket, that they had, the issue that they had was, you know, was getting people to get on one accord,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have that one voice. And I mean, they gave Dr. King fits, just like they gave Moses fits, you know, about galvanizing and moving forward. And then also, we have to understand that it's not a sprint. You know, this thing mm-hmm. that we're in, it's not a sprint. This is a marathon.
Yep.
And in a marathon, you pace yourself. You have to understand that, hey, there are phases anybody that has run a marathon will tell you that there's phases to a marathon. You have to be strategic about how you run that particular marathon. Would you do it mile 5? Would you do it mile 10? Would you do it mile 15? And I think we have to begin to understand that first. Understand that, you know, what's the marathon that we're running, you know, and begin to put together those phases of this marathon that we're on, and then understand what phase are we in? Are we in phase 1, 2, 3? And we say, okay, once we've finished one phase, we can move to another phase. Or while a group of us is working on phase 1, a group of us is working on phase 2, a group of us is working on phase 3, those things, because then it becomes like the wall that God told Jeremiah to build.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody has the mind to build the wall goes up, because everybody understands what part of the wall they're building. And we, I mean, I think us here, we understand how we're building the wall. It's just a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to build this part of the wall. I'm going to build this part of the wall. What's our strategy for implementing that part of the strategy? So I think that, to me, that's where we go from here.
I appreciate that. And as always, you know, you bring insightful information to us. And yes, we do have to have a will to work to build the wall. And Bashana, can you unmute yourself, please? How you doing?
I'm good.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, you was on here. I think you asked the question. We can talk about yesterday, but I think you asked a question. You know, we are here right now. What do we do now? How do we get to our next steps and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to kind of reiterate that question again, because, you know, we have some seasoned people on there. We have some new people on here as well. But people really need to know sometimes. We need to remind ourselves that, you know, young people like yourself are looking upwards to us sometimes. Then you also got people behind you that's looking up at you. And they may be asking the same question. You know, they may ask you, what are you doing? And you may be asking us, what are we doing? And you know that we can go in a circle like that, continue to go on. But now that you kind of like in the middle, so to speak, and so where do you think that, you know, where we are and where you think that we should go at from your perspective?
I think that we should collectively tackle any one of the issues. I guess as a newspaper or a media, you know, group that's pushing things out, what we can do is pick any one of the issues and just support it. Maybe change the area each year, but we have issues in all sectors. It's education, financial. In my area, we have a housing situation where a lot of our east side houses have been bought from out of towners, and it's just it's a mess going on here. And the people who are trying to do, I'm just using this as an example, the people that's trying to do something about it are reaching to the federal government for investigation instead of asking the people that it's affecting. So I'm using, this is just housing affordability or just housing in general. If that affects us and we know the story of how we've been affected by housing and lending, racial discrimination. We can pick any one topic and then just drive it home, maybe stick with it for 6 months to a year and build the case around it. We could choose reparations. Reparations has all of those issues outlined and they claim to be investigating, but that's been going on for a long time. I'm talking about that bill, H.R. 40 or whatever that is. But I think if we use our minds collectively to hit each one, and try to push the agenda forward to making some accomplishment, because I really don't know where to start other than, you know, having a mouthpiece. Locally, I don't quite understand, you know, how legislation get passed or how they choose what legislation is most important. But, you know, if it was police brutality and requiring them to get personality checks, just like any one of us have to have personality tests for a job, they should be having personality tests for police officers going forward. I'm just saying, it's different things that we can talk about a little bit more focused and then, you know, support those works that are out there. That's the only thing, because I don't quite see the dots connecting, like, with the local communities to change in offices or whatnot. But I know, like, my article I wrote, I think the door is open for our voices to be heard. But again, I think we got to be more concentrated in what outcome we want. So if whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, put an end to it, cut the check, or whatever it is, we have to be a little bit more strategic. So when we get to where we're trying to go, we don't sound discombobulated. You know what I'm saying? We all know what the goal is, what the issue we're trying to accomplish, and then drive it home nationally.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what? See, that's what the personally the goal of the National Black Unity News is. See, we bring people from a variety of areas to talk about this and to talk about this. They're areas of expertise, so they can keep our people get information by us and for us. And we grow, and we still a young publication, but we still adding people in, and they are tackling these certain type of subjects. But also is needing that we just one tool in the tool chest that can be used for a variety of services. Brother Chris normally comes on, and he has this thing with the spokes of the wheel where organizations can come together. We have a thing here in Baltimore. Brother Bill is on here. And I'm going to give you an example of how things can work. I'm going to let Bill talk about this. Brother Bill, can you – yeah, you unmuted. You know, I want you to talk a little bit about black men, unifying black men, and some of the offsprings from it, how it got started, and how things can happen when people can come together for one reason but ended up going in a lot of other places. So, so Bill, to speak a little bit on black men, unifying black men, and some of the offspring that came from that. Oh, you having that same problem again, huh? Okay. All right. So he told me earlier that he's having even though he's unmuted and everything, but he's having some issues with his computers. So when he come back on, Brother Bill, just chime back on in when you get yourself situated. Okay, Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, I can. How are you guys doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing great. Look, I'm sitting up there sweating like I drank some hot coffee.
As I said before, guys, I'm happy as a runaway slave. Praise the Lord for that. I want to thank you guys for being on this evening, and thank Bill specifically because he did an article on the Creator, and I think that was really great is because that's where we got to go back as a foundation. As a child in the civil rights movement under the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was under Joseph Lowery, national president, and Martin Luther King as the first president, I was fourth president in the line in the SCLC. Some of the things that we're discussing now was discussed then is where do we go from here? And one of the major avenues that we have an avenue of approaching something that was in the middle of the road that we couldn't move and we couldn't figure it out. And something was said to me 35, 40 years ago that blew me out of the water about 2 weeks ago. I was crossing the street from Curtis Harris's church. He's president of the SCLC, state chapter president. He had had meetings with Joseph Lowery, the national president. And we were crossing the street where in 19, I got to right here, it was in March. Whatever date was, it was before the 24th of 1995. And he said, you know what, Elder? And I says, I didn't get a word out. He says, I believe to the bottom of my heart that we're put here to save the white man from himself. And it didn't dawn on me. It did not dawn on me until about a few weeks ago on this broadcast. We're looking at why we're here. The only reason we're here is to glorify God, but in that, you and I, we have specific gifts and talents. And in actuality, to put it quite bluntly, we're here to save people that's trying to kill us. Hello. Mm-hmm. But we're killing ourselves. So Joseph Lowery came up with, hey, listen, let's turn towards each other, not on each other. And that on this broadcast, the catalyst to begin the process began. We began the process of appreciation, appreciating everybody. It's no color in here. We began to just appreciate people in general. You'd be surprised where we could go as a people if we begin with appreciation, because what's been planted in us, I think we found out that the word contempt got a lot of fingers, and it causes us to implode. It will hurt. It will kill us. So why don't we begin to reverse the process with appreciation? So that's what I'm writing now for in my next book. How to get rid of the crab. That's what it is. The cognitive retrogressions affecting the black society. But where do we go from here? If we hang in this broadcast, it's so many people in here with so many ideas that have so much power, so much thrust, we can turn the world upside down on the National Unity Black News. We can do these things because your heart's in it. And I appreciate each one of you guys here. And you guys have a great evening. And thank you for the time, Dave.
Oh, always a pleasure. Matter of fact, your stuff is in the mail already. So tomorrow, maybe the day after. Okay. And Bill, are you set up yet?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay. First, let me just say good evening to everybody and thank you. But You know, I'm going to speak on what you asked me today, but I also want to say something else in terms of, because I was listening to Dr. Leroy, he made me think about something. But Black Man Unifying Black Man started about 8 years ago. And, of course, you know, you was one of the founding members. It was Fitz Brothers, Fitz Black Man. You know, we decided that we felt it was urgent that Black Man start having breakfast together and having discussions together, right? So, I mean, our whole mission was bringing Black men and Black boys together so that we could have an opportunity to know each other. Because once people have an opportunity to break bread on a regular basis, people create relationships. People start knowing each other. People start working together. You know, you start finding like-minded people thinking the way you think, and you start going to business or organizations together. You know, so you start finding and having real relationships, right? So, you know, from that, and I'm just talking fast because, I mean, you asked me to mention a couple things. Mm-hmm. You know,
Take your time, sir.
Since we started, then we have the National Black Unity Newspaper is one of the tentacles. You know what I mean? Me, I've been knowing you for a long time, David, but doing Black Man Unifying Black Man, we reconnected and we talked about a paper and you put another paper together. You know, so, I mean, maybe without Black Man Unifying Black Man, then the National Black Unity paper would never be in existence today, right?
That's right.
Just one of the things. You have a brother, Rennie Bass, who's out there. They started an organization called Kioba, you know, where they got Black men, they putting money together, and they buying properties and rehabbing properties and putting them back on the market. That came from Black Man Unifying Black Man, right? You got a chapter in Philly. You know, brother started a chapter. It's supposed to be a chapter in Atlanta. I can't guarantee that, but I know about the chapter in Philly. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of different things. You got Andre Bundy now, We Are Us, you know, which Andre was one of the founding members. You know, but now We Are Us is out there in the streets every day providing resources, you know, connected to the city. So the city is giving them resources, connected to other agencies. So they're out there engaging people on the street. You know, trying to get them jobs, opportunities, trying to give them a pathway. If they're on drugs, they want to get off drugs, and they can send them into a counseling in one of these programs where they can try to get off drugs. So a lot of things that came from that. So I'm just saying all that to say this. When people could come together on consistent levels, then it's all kind of possibilities, right? You know,
yep.
And I think all of us is clear on one thing. If we're going to be saved, we're going to save ourselves. Now, you know, to be honest, I have one problem in terms of this. Because, I mean, I'm with Leroy in terms of building the wall, because we have to build the wall. And everybody have to know where they fit in, right? And in regards to what happens in the world, we have to continue trying to make the world better. But I also think, Dave, that we may be on the verge that this system may have to totally collapse for Black people to really get the groundwork put that we need to get put in this system, where that we can have equal footing and we can be on the ground floor. This system is just so ugly and so corrupt, man. There's just so many things happening. But we have to continue to do what we have to do, just like people use the Bible. You know, that's what I'm saying about the Bible. You know, you have a lot of the good works in the Bible, but you also have Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, right? So, you know, in some respects, man, we living like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? But we still have to be responsible people in terms of what do God want us to do in terms of trying to make the world better, in terms of trying to save the world. All of us have a place. And if all of us continue to see that we have a place in terms of making it better and make that commitment that, look, I may not agree with Bill Gooden, but how can I work with Bill Gooden? I don't have to agree with Dave on everything, but on what level can we work on? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even if we can't work on level, then we have to at least respect each other for what each other is doing and be grateful and thankful that, you know, you're out there working, trying to make a difference, right? You know, so we had to be able to put away some other little issues that affect us, why we don't like each other, why we can't deal with each other, because mm-hmm. we let things get in the way that shouldn't even really be a real issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't like the way that he talk. I don't like the way that she do what she do. You know what I'm saying? But if all of us is working towards trying to make life better for all of us, then we have to see when can we come together and when can we get in that tent that you just made mention to when you're talking about Cliff and the spokes for the wheels, right? Because all of us are spokes, right? And all of us don't have the same skill level. All of us don't have the same pathway. But one thing all of us have that's on this here call, all of us say we're committed to making it better. So if we're committed to making it better, then we have to say, how can we make sure that we find a way that we connect with one another so that we can find out how we can work together, right? The only way that we can work together is when we had an opportunity to know each other and say, hey, listen, I want to do this myself too. I had an idea similar to that. Let me help you with that, right? Let me help you with that. And then we start building them bridges where people could, and as long as we build them bridges, then other people can walk across them bridges and unite with us, right? And I'm going to close with this. You know, that just like when we look at what's happening in Ukraine, right? Listen, I'm against war, period, man. I feel sorry for what's happening in Ukraine. But if you have to pay attention to this. Look how the world is coming out in reference to opposition to Russia, but then when you bombing black people, when you over in Iraq, when you over in Libya, and the world don't come out. And I'm just saying that to say, people have to see a connection with themselves. Black people have to see a connection with ourselves for one another and make a commitment that we're going to support one another, and we will do better. Irregardless of what happened with the world, then we have a responsibility to each other. You know, we can't just say that I'm my brother's keeper, I'm my sister's keeper, but in reality, we don't give a damn about our brother, our sister. You know what I'm saying? We have to say what we mean and mean what we think.
Amen. I hear you, brother. Let me just say this to you as well as Dr. Pender. You know, this is David Murphy 101. I believe that God put the melanated man on earth first, the dark skin, the black man. And it spread out from here, there, on, you know, all over the place. And Dr. Pender has something, you know, when people stray from the original, it takes a little bit of the lust off of it. You know, I don't care what it is. You take a little piece off of this, and then it's not the original. It then goes down and down. And so I'm beginning to think what Dr. Pender said, if we are the original man that God put here, and I remember, in the beginning of the Bible, he said, he told man, put man to work immediately. He said, to do the land. He said, make it grow, make it prosper, make it do these things. And so if our brothers and our sisters stray, and I ain't talking about, I'm just talking about this white man or anybody else. I'm just talking, say, in your own immediate family. You got family members, man, that go far left. You know, it's hard to deal with them sometimes, you know. They go this way and you have a real rough. You love them from afar, but you don't want to deal with them sometimes. But still, they connected to you. And sometimes, no matter how hard it is, that sometimes if some of the family members don't reach out to that person, they're gonna stay in that situation. If they don't provide support or help for that individual family member, then it can be a difficult task. And I believe that's why God made family. And I look at this scenario as to the world, too. You know, when the world goes straight, some people in their right mind need to look out for all mankind because we are interconnected for one time. Like you just mentioned, those in Ukraine. Yeah, the whole world is upset because they look like them. You know, but, you know, they turn a blind eye when they're doing the same thing in Africa and places like that. And but like I said, it's up to us. Like you said, it's up to, we have to have responsibility for ourselves. And like you say, just like black men, unifying black men had a lot of impact. And so is, as the offspring from black men to unify, you know, the newspaper as well, we have a large impact as well. And see, that's why I say when you plant a seed, you never know the fruit that's going to come from it. The things that we're doing on the individual basis, we never know the true outcome from it. But in any case, I'm going to bring this brother in because he's going to get, brother, high key. Can you unmute yourself, sir? Okay. Give him, brother, high key.
Yes. Greetings, everybody. How y'all doing today?
yeah, I want you to join this discussion, you know, and I know you do a lot of things. I know you, just like Brother Leroy, you deal with books. You have read countless of books. You beginning to travel the world. You traveled all over this country. And you dealt with, you know, you deal with politics. You deal with quite a few things, media. And we were talking about where do we go from here right now? Because, you know, and from your perspective, I'm talking about black melanated people first. You know, be true to yourself first, because, like I say, the world won't do what we were. Until we get our act together, maybe we can change the world. But from your perspective, what do you see us as a people, some of the main issues that we need to address, and what would they be?
Well, first, I have to refer back to my article that I wrote, not this edition, but the last edition. I spoke about consciousness, culture, capital. Oh, man, wait a minute. It's one more. It'll come to me. Somebody can pull out the last one. But interestingly, in the context of understanding who we are as a people and knowing our history. And right now, I mean, of course, our divergent philosophical, ideological, religious views that, like Brother Bill said, in terms of, you know, how people interact with each other. My through my experience and through my wisdom, I've had to learn to sort of center myself amongst, you know, diverse populations, for instance, because ultimately many people are going to have their views, right? And sometimes I had to sit and just watch and observe, you know, at how people just disagree on things that we shouldn't be disagreeing about. And I give an example. Once upon a time in Baltimore, Mr. Farrakhan came into town, and he spoke at the Utah Grand Lodge, the Masonic Lodge, right? And another group, the Hebrew Israelites, they came out and they just wanted to philosophically, it wasn't like a protest, but they wanted to denounce reparations or something. And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, and so we have to know that we have people who have dogma or what they believe, but sometimes people's beliefs don't have any effect on our reality and our historic condition of where we are. And so I try to be practical in all aspects of my dealings. I mean, I'll listen to different, I'm going for what I see in front of me immediately. First, I mean, we have to preserve our own individual lives so that we can be an asset to others and be the example. So I'm always thinking, like, am I preserving my life, my freedom, and future economic opportunity to ensure that I'm able to survive? Because black men are absolutely targeted on many different levels. And so, and I'll just close and say that knowing that we are targeted, it's up to many of us to, you know, sort of become, you know, deep thinkers in terms of, and that comes from, you know, listening to different people. And so I don't close my mind. I mean, some people I do close. I just know that their mindset won't lead us anywhere. And so I'm like, I don't have time, you know, but that's through experience and reading and thinking. And so, but I just say, just keep an open mind towards liberation and consciousness into our history. You know, as Malcolm said, history is the best to reward all our research. So I'll just close with that. And I thank you, brother.
I appreciate that.
And sisters that's on here. Thank you all.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been hearing from quite a few of the brothers on here, and they all had some great valid points on here. But is that you, Sister Paul, teaching Artist Institute?
Greetings. Hey, how are
greetings.
You, Mr. Peter?
Well, since he just mentioned the ladies, you know, you was on the with us the, on the Tuesday night call a week or two ago, and you gave a great speech that you had recorded. Powerful. But you're a powerful lady anyway. And since we celebrate Women History Month, I want to just change the subject matter right now. We have a few ladies on with us, and we have some brothers on here as well, who we may not fully understand how women think or feel about certain subjects and matters, you know, because everybody has an opinion about this and opinion about that. But since just like as we celebrated Black History Month, which should be celebrated every day, and the same thing with women, we should celebrate our women every day because without them, there's no us. But since we're talking about women and women contributions, I'm talking about it now. And I want you to share from your perspective, from a lady's point of view, about our situation that I'm talking about here in the United States. We can deal with the world a little bit. I guess the same thing's happening all over the world. But women have, just like black men and everybody, has been excluded from a lot of things over the years. That's for yesterday. But today, you know, we can learn from yesterday. But Sister Kim, what do you think about women and their state right now, and where should we be, and where you think we should go as women, I'm talking about?
Well, Mr. David, I feel like women are exactly where they've always been and where they need to be. I would say this History Month, maybe women can remind men of where they should be in order to support us in our development. When I look at the Pan-African community and any community that has ever focused on the liberation of black people as a community, you find a lot of male leadership running to the front of the mic, running to the front of a cause and creating ideology. And then you find the women behind them actually being the ones attempting to implement that work. So they come up with a lot of great ideas. They talk a lot about them. And then the women folk historically have been the ones that pull up their sleeves and do the heavy lifting. And that's pretty ironic, but it is also indicative of our history, because black women in this country, in this area, in our tribe specifically, we had no choice but to do that, because black men in many ways were emasculated by oppressors. And so black women had to do things to maintain the family, to protect the culture, and to protect our children, which, children are both male and female. And so the boys eventually grow up into men, but the women, they never stop being that protector. They never stop running to the front to do the heavy lifting. And that's on every front, in every sector, across, generations, since, as long as we've been in this country. And so I think that this Women's History Month, black women need to remind black men to not just talk about it, to not be theorists, to not run to the microphone and to the front, of movements and the cover of magazines for their so-called work, but they need to join their women in this partnership of developing our people and our community by doing some of the heavy lifting, because we've been doing it for quite a while. And our work is to stand there and continue to be by your side doing that work. Our job doesn't change, but we can no longer stand idly by and turn a blind eye to men that run to the front of movements that don't do the work when it's time for us to get the job done. So happy Women's Month today and every day.
Well, like I said, you got a valid point there, because like I said, I used to be years ago, I used to be the vice president of the Lower Edmonton Village Community Association. And just like any other community, we had quite a few issues, some of the young men up on the corners. And I tried to address those issues and to address some of our young people on the corners, but I couldn't get the brothers to go with me, but the women was ready. They talked right up there with me. And it was hard. It was, like I said, it was very difficult to get the brothers to follow. And Kathleen Murphy, are you, can you speak now? Yes, I can hear you kind of breaking up a little, but you heard Sister Kim just make. Yeah, you breaking up pretty bad. Yeah.
I'm moving to another location.
Okay, now you sound much better. Yeah, much better.
Okay.
I just want that. You heard what Sister Kim just said. But I like to talk to you from a different angle, because you had brought up some valid points when it came to women and women issues, and because you had made a career in the military, you had fought for this country, you had served this country, but you yourself said that you didn't have too many problems with the race issue, but what you did have problems was the gender. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, that is true. Seems like I was a minority everywhere I went. This is the past. And I try to bring it to the future, and I always talk about what happened in the past. But that was true. Race was an issue in the military, but gender was a greater issue for me. Today, if I were to reflect on what's going on in the world today, I have been in organizations where I feel that there's still a slight problem with gender being the real issue. I currently am reading a book that I probably should have read 30 years ago, wish I had. And it's this lady, I mentioned it last week. Her name is Marion Wright Elderman. She is the founder of the Children's Defense Fund. And she walked, and I mean sincerely walked, with people like John Lewis. She walked with Malcolm X, conversations, lunches, dinners. She was in that group, Dr. King, many, many conversations and luncheons. And those were her friends. And Robert and John Kennedy, that's the group she dealt with. And the things that she talked about, and that was back in the 60s. And I listened to her talk about the many different things and how about some of those issues are still the same today, be it racial and be it about women. She was one of the first black female lawyers in Mississippi. And I listened to her talk about her challenges, and some of those are the same challenges we have today. Look at Kamala Harris. She might be in that position, but do you really think that she is truly respected in that position totally? I don't think so. Look at some of your other leaders. Look at the lady that was in Georgia that was running for that office and what she had to do to get the voter registration going. We're still not looked at the same way. It's just the way it is. A lot of black women are doing great things. We have our own businesses now. They've got their own. They're independent. We've been independent, but it's still something that's just not there. But we don't let that stop us, as Ms. Elderman said in her book. You keep going. Like Dr. King said, if you can't run, you walk. If you can't walk, you crawl, but you keep moving. And that's what the women are doing today. We're not letting these things be a problem for us or a challenge. We just keep moving.
Wow. Y'all bringing a lot of light to some darkness here. And because like I say, sometimes you got your own cross to bear. And, the way I see my cross is about us, just as long as you're black. I don't care if you're male or female. But, but sometimes, just like we men claim in this society, we are targeted and the other society do certain things, like we were talking about last week, this little Willie Lynch thing. They were saying things like put the woman first and then the man second and all of these type of things, But like I say, when you divide and conquer, that's an easy thing. And by you being in the military, strategies. When you fight in wars, they have to have all type of strategies, and I guess they implement them. But again, turning the finger back at us is this. We don't hear from two sisters on there already, brothers, and you kind of heard what they said. I heard what they said. And sometimes we get caught up in our own worlds, And we in this battle together, and our women has always stood up. And I seen this in my own personal family. You know, when things went awry, mom had to do what she had to do. You know, she did the best she could with you know, with what she was working with, but she stood up. She didn't run. And so I just want to say to the ladies on here and to those who will be hearing this part, God knows I appreciate you, but even more so, because like I say, sometimes we so busy looking at the things in our own eyes, and sometimes we can't see right next to us sometimes, you know, not only our women and our children as well, you know. And so I appreciate that. And Shauna, are you still with us?
Yes.
Now, you heard the previous sister speak about certain things what women go through. What's your story? You have a story. I pick on her a lot. No. Seriously, by you being a lady yourself, do you find that not only do you have to deal with the larger community, but you have to deal with men in a certain way too, you know, in your life? Has that been a problem with you?
No. What I found is that this isn't, you know, it's several experiences into one that's made me, you know, have this opinion. But I think sisters need to do a better job amongst themselves. Just women in general. You know, women do get things done, but I think sisters today, you know, my generation need to do a better job to support our children and our families and caring for our elders and children. I think we could do a better job. That's just my experience. I haven't had many issues, you know, with gender. I have had some racial issues, but I've had more problems with sisters just in keeping the goal, like I said before, if anything in mind and going towards the goal, you know, less drama. It's unfortunate that the picture is painted on TV in this generation with, you know, bickering and sassiness, but I think we need to get back to fundamentals of women today in my generation.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because I've seen many, that's what I say about mass media. I've seen many shows, what they call them, basketball wives and all of these kind of stuff, the way the media portray us going at fighting each other. And putting a certain type of, and just like they do everybody, putting certain images about our women out there when they portray these type of shows and stuff like this for the larger society to see. But let me say this. I need some help. You say you have not because you ask not. And we spoke a little bit at the men speak, then we heard from the ladies. But, you know, I want to talk about children, just a little bit about children, because I got an issue right now. And maybe y'all can help me. And well, I got so many of you on here because I can't pick up the phone and call all of you about the same issue. But, you know, I got some grandchildren. And I come, you know, just bring, you know, because I'm so busy doing this and so busy doing that sometimes, it is brought to my attention that some of them not doing too well in school, several of them. And, you know, and it hit me hard because, you know, of course I love my grandchildren. I want the best for them. And they come, I don't see them that often, but they do come here. And sometimes, you know, here I'm trying to save the world. And sometimes when you look in your own backyard, you got some issues that need immediate attention. And so if any of you ever had the problem with your children maybe not doing too well in school, and it could be a lot of issues. They may not get the support they need. Or people spending time with them, you know. I don't know what the school system do. Do they have special classes for certain things? I don't know. But if there are any certain type of books out there, because I don't, you know, well, put it this way, I don't even know what reading level they on. That's how bad I am. And so, like I say, but it's been brought to my attention that I want to work on it. I'm gonna make the time to do what I, you know, whatever needs to be done. I mean, I can do whatever I can with the time that I do have. And so any suggestions out there when dealing with those of you who have dealt with children, got any suggestions? How do you approach the child? How do you make them feel comfortable where they want to, you know, learn to read? If any strategic things that y'all know of, you know, please email me, text me, or call me. I would truly, truly appreciate it.
David,
and,
David,
yes, uh-huh.
Oh, may I just interject one thing?
Sure.
I've, had many kids, some mine, some not mine, that we raised. And I remember one thing that one of the teachers said to me. She was a nun. And she said that even if things are bad, praise your children. Give them praise. Tell them it's good. You could do better, but it's real good. You're doing good. You've got to, it's sometimes, and that back during this particular time, it was very difficult to find the words to say you're doing good when it really wasn't quite good. But mm-hmm. Not that you're going to not say, be truthful to them, but they, encouragement is so important. A little praise is a start. And I'm not saying that that's not happening, but you'd be surprised. That pat on the back, yeah, man, I know that was hard getting that math problem. But you know what? You didn't do too bad on it. You're on your way. Just find words of encouragement. That's a start.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay.
And you know what? I would like to contribute to that. Reading aloud is so important. You have to read to your children. I have many community children done biologically, but a lot of mamas bring me in to read to their children. My artistry, I'll say I'm a performing artist, but performing is not just my music. Sometimes they bring me in to do storytelling and live in history reenactments, and it makes a difference when you read aloud to your child. They mimic us. They're like sponges. And so children that don't read well were never read to. And so I just want to remind all mamas, never forsake story time. It don't matter what you read. Read the Bible, read the magazine, read the back of a menu. Read to your children and do it every night. And I promise you, their reading skills, not only will they improve, they will become readers that read aloud to others.
All right, I appreciate that. You know, it makes a lot of sense.
Keep in mind, I'm not saying personally, David, your family. I'm just saying in general, some of our mothers were kids having kids, and they had not fully developed, but read to themselves, and had not been how to even do that. So they're still in a learning process themselves. They're not believers.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you was breaking up a little bit, but I heard pretty much what you were saying, and that is the case not only in my family sometimes, but in a lot of families. You know, the parents mimic what was done to them sometimes, and then sometimes it's not that issue all the time, but it's a contributing factor, but you know. Like I said, it does take a village, you know, to look out for one another, like we were discussing early, but our young people, but like I say, but I think all cultures, even in insects and animals and everything else, you know, the main thing why they exist is to keep their generations to continue, and they raise their family, and that's how the cycle of life goes. And hopefully that we can make our next generation better than what we are. And it does take the whole village. It takes the men, the women, and the children. And we have to, you know, like I say, you know, we can do a lot of things sometimes. And I'm saying this because, you know, I brought this reason up about my grandchildren is because this. You know, I can get busy doing a lot of things, worthwhile things sometimes. But sometimes, you know, issues are right up under us sometimes that need our immediate attention. And we have to have what you call a balance of life, a time for this and a time for that. But, you know, but when God puts a burden in your life on you, you know, you have a passion for that. And I do have a passion for us. I'm talking about black melanated people. Not that I'm dismissing any other group of race of people, but I specifically focus on us. And the reason why I focus on us is because even the Bible quotes that, you know, a good man leaves an inheritance not only to his children, but to his children's children. So if I can go out here and try to save the village and save the world and can't save my own little teeny village, then, you know, that's an issue. And so I'm suggesting to you all, because like I said, it's good that we're busy doing this and busy doing that, but sometimes we need to investigate not only our children, our children's children, but sometimes our brothers, our sisters may be going through and may really need our attention. And I know one thing we all need, they need our love. Everybody needs that. And but sometimes, you know, because it does take a village. And so if you don't ask questions sometimes, you know, if you're going through something, because there's a lot of, like, I just asked this question about my grandchildren. See, I received information already in this short period of time, things that I can implement to my grandchildren. And that's the same thing with the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, because putting information out there that can contribute to people's lives. You know, we got people dealing with youth like Kathleen Murphy. She has all types of suggestions on that. Then we have brother like Haki and Dr. Leroy McKenzie deal with all types of books and services and a whole lot of others. And we got people doing so many great and wonderful things that, you know, it's truly amazing. And again, if you don't ask not, you have not sometimes, you know, so you have to ask questions. Not only do you give information, but we have to be willing to receive it as well. And so, you know, as time moving on, you know, I do want to thank personally the ladies that, you know, we have a short group today, but, you know, I want to thank the ladies that's been on here right now for their participation, for the work that they've done and that they still do, and putting up not only with the world but with us and everything else they have to put up with, and yet they continue to stand. And I do know this, you know, based on my own knowledge, you know, in my own world, that I've seen ladies do great. I mean things that I mean I can't even conceive of, you know, even doing my own mother, for instance. I just can't imagine all the stuff she had to do. I mean, you know, just putting up with me alone was astronomical, but just, you know, 8 children, my goodness. And then she had the grandchildren and great grands, all of them was upon her, came upon her. And yet she's, I mean, I don't know how, you know, but somehow ladies know how to do that. I don't know, but I do know one thing. This is the way I think about ladies. You know, there's God. As wonderful, as great as God is. But the next thing to godliness I can think of is women, because they had to do so much for so many. And that's the way I feel. You know, I really do. And because I've seen it firsthand. And so, you know, we still have a few minutes. We control our time. But again, I want to thank everybody for the input. You know, we are embarking on a new issue, so those of you, because everybody on here is pretty much editors in the paper, to get your articles in. And you know, like I say, the world is in uproar right now, and people really not, a lot of people taking their eyes off us now. And this is an excellent time, ladies and gentlemen, to get our attention, because it you know, there's wars and rumors of wars. Like I said, they're going to do what they do. But, you know, we have said it on here tonight. We have some solutions that we need to take care of. We need to do so that we can make our life better. And before I leave, anybody else can have some closing remarks. But there's a young man on here who just went through, so he lost his mother. He just buried his mother this past week in Vernon Street, and his aunt a week before that. And so I want to continue to send my prayers out to my brother Vernon. He's online with us right now, Vernon Streeter. So send our prayers his way, because I can't even imagine, you know, what he has been through, you know, and I don't want to imagine it either. But like I said, he's one of ours, and, you know, we have to take care of our own. And so I'm just sending prayers away, brother. You know, just stay strong. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And anybody else, before we depart this podcast tonight, I just want to remind you that tomorrow night Kathleen, you want to share what's going on tomorrow night?
Yes, I was waiting. I didn't want to rush.
But you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up. You might want to move around again.
Storm here. There's a storm on tonight. Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up. It's like an echo.
Sherrick, tomorrow we're going to highlight Sherrick.
Okay, yes. All right, we're going to be highlighting Sherrick, one of our new editors that's coming on tomorrow. And those of you who would like to have, you know, be one of the guest speakers, please get in touch with Kathleen Murphy, and she'll set up some arrangements with you so that you can share your stories as well, you know, and because we have some great stories to tell. And I'm also interviewing editors in the national. That's what I do a lot lately, is interviewing editors, because I want people to know who you are, why you do some of the things that you do, because, like I said, I think it's important that people really need to know you. Because they read your stories, but, you know, but your stories are so much more deeper than what you put in the paper. And so so that's why I'm going to continue to do this. And anybody with any closing statements before we share, the how you say this, doors of the church is open, so to speak. Going once, going twice. Okay. All right, so in closing, I want to bid you all a good night and keep doing what you're doing. You know, we all can do a little better, but, you know, like I say, Dr. Leroy,
you are unmuted.
It's not a swift race, it's a marathon. You know, we have to pace ourselves. And this is what I'm going to leave you with. Don't beat up on yourself too much, because you're doing a great and wonderful work. And I know this by experience. You know, you can be doing a lot of great things, but you know, we all want to do better, of course. But don't beat yourself up, because, you know, a lot of us spend a lot of time beating on us when we can take that energy and use it for other sources. And so, and again, you know, from where I sit, y'all doing such a wonderful and great job in your own individual lives. And I know you have made contributions, but I know you make great contributions in the National Black Unity News. And I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm going to bid you all a good night. Take care.
Good night.
That's cold.
Good night, and join us again next week for another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. Okay, take care.